Okay, so let's open our Bibles to John's Gospel and chapter 3. And I'm going to read the first 8 verses. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Amen. We pray that God's written word might be to us his living word today. So today, continuing the theme of the Holy Spirit, today thinking about new beginnings. Recognising that when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us, when we receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, it can mark for us a new beginning. And this blessing of the Holy Spirit can happen in all manner of ways. For some people, they can look back on their life and there is a particular occasion and experience that they had where they would say, "That was when I received the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and it marked for me a new phase of my life, a new direction, a new purpose, very much a new beginning in my life." But I think a familiar experience to probably most of us, if not all of us, is that regular, ongoing blessing of the Holy Spirit, that awareness that God has from time to time, but possibly many times over our life, blessed us with an experience, perhaps dramatic, perhaps very ordinary, perhaps very gentle, but that experience of a blessing of the Holy Spirit. Now, we may ask, well, how do I receive this blessing of the Holy Spirit? And the scripture tells us that we simply need to pray. We simply need to pray. There is no clever words. There is no magic. There's no formula. It's simply, "Father, pour out your Spirit upon me." That's all we need to do. And to humbly say, "I need you." Now, what the Holy Spirit does in us, once we pray that prayer and God answers that prayer, you know, anybody, well, we don't really know what God might do in your heart and in your life once you pray that prayer and God answers that prayer. But one thing we do know is that it can mark a new beginning. We cannot say definitively how God will impact your life as you are filled with the Spirit, what he might challenge you about, what he might teach you, what direction he might give you in your life, or a fresh sense of purpose. We can't say. Because as Jesus says to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it will. We don't know. But we do know that it can mark a new beginning for us. And today I've got 4 headings that I'm going to be following. Creating something new, anointing and commissioning, that's a great one. Drawing a line under the past and something surprising. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, when we pray very simply, or maybe even somebody else prays for us, to be filled, to be blessed with the Holy Spirit, it can create something new. It may be a point in our life of anointing and commissioning. It can be a time where we draw a line under the past, and it can be something that is really surprising to us. So we begin at the beginning, creating something new. And the very first verses in the Bible, I actually love, I don't know about you, I love the first four words in the Bible. The first four words in the Bible, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. And I love that because, you know, we can have all sorts of arguments about creation and evolution and science and all sorts of things and waste our time talking about those things. And the way I always answer any debate about evolution and creation and people challenging me about my faith, say, look, in the beginning, God. That's the answer. In the beginning, God. I don't know. But here's the thing that we're told, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he goes on in verse 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now this word hovering, it's the word used of a mother bird hovering over the nest in a protective, creative way. The Spirit of God was there, like a mother bird producing, creating at that time of creation. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we need to know that God creates. That's what God wants to do. He wants to create that which was not before. God wants to create something new. Now in Genesis chapter 1, we know there is an account of creation on the first day, on the second day, on the third day, and so on and so on. And we trace that in Genesis chapter 1. And then when we move to Genesis chapter 2, it's almost as if the person writing has stepped to a different perspective and looking at creation from somewhere else. And the story is, in a sense, told again, but in a slightly different way. And here God creates a human form out of the dust. And then we read this. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man, or the human, became a living being. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, or the spirit of life. And I think this is a beautiful scene, if we could imagine it, how God, the creative that he is, has created out of the dust, out of the earth, has created the human form. And the sense that I have is that in that moment, God kneels down. What I imagine is somebody giving resuscitation. And God kneels down and breathes the Spirit into that form. And I think it's a beautiful illustration that we see repeated, of course, in the Lord Jesus becoming a human being, humbling himself to human form. And God breathes his Spirit. That's what it is, the breath of life. It is the Spirit of life is breathed. And this is what God does. God doesn't stand aloof, doesn't stand afar off and do things. God gets involved with the dust and the form of your life. God gets involved and is right close to you. And God kneels down, even as though we are flat out on the floor and we say we can do no more and we want to give up. It's at that point that God kneels down beside us and breathes life, the Spirit of life, into us. And it may be that for us today, we're aware, because of where we are at in our life and our journey, that there is that sense of we need that newness. We need the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, to create anew with us, within us. May God bless us with that new beginning, if that's what we need today. The second heading is anointing and commissioning. A blessing of the Holy Spirit can take the form of anointing and commissioning. Now, let me put up a verse for you. Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath or the spirit to all living things, appoint someone over this community." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him." So Moses is coming towards the end of his life, and God has said to Moses, "You are not going to lead these people forever. There's going to be a passing on of that responsibility of leadership." And Moses says, "Well, who is it going to be? I don't want to just pick anybody. Lord, tell me who it is who's going to lead these people." And Moses goes on to speak about the need for the people of God to have a shepherd, someone who will guide them on the going out and the coming in, someone who will look after them and care for them with great wisdom. And the Lord says to Moses, "Take Joshua. Already there is the spirit of leadership within him. But he's not been able to exercise that gift of leadership because Moses is the leader." And then God says, "Lay your hand on him." And this is a time of commissioning. Joshua, you've lived your life always in the shadow of Moses. Now, Joshua, this is your time. And the laying on of hands is that commissioning and the gift of the Spirit. Sometimes to us is that commissioning where we step out from under the shadow of somebody else and we step forward in humility. Now, Joshua wasn't just any old leader, but he had been Moses' companion for many years. And there are beautiful stories about how Joshua spent time with God and experienced relationship with God. And there's the account of Moses and Joshua going out to a tent that was set apart from all where all the people were. And Moses and Joshua go out to that tent, and it's known as the Tent of Meeting. That's where they met with God. And then we're told that Moses and Joshua spoke to God. And then Moses leaves the tent and Joshua is there alone with God. And God and Joshua speak to one another as friends speak to one another. And it's a beautiful note. Here was somebody who's not just got the gift of leadership, but he has the spirit, the humility that goes with good leadership. And Moses lays his hands on Joshua and commissions him. And that may be for us a significant new beginning for us, where we have been in the shadow of somebody else. And then there's the story about the prophet Samuel. The king is a man by the name of Saul. And the Spirit of God was upon King Saul, but all sorts of things happen, and you have to read the story in 1 Samuel itself. But the Spirit departs from Saul, and God speaks to Samuel, the prophet Samuel, and says to Samuel, "I'm going to choose another who will be king over this people." And God directs Samuel, do you remember the story? God directs Samuel to go to the house of Jesse. And Samuel gets to the house of Jesse and asks to see Jesse's sons. And Jesse brings in his sons. He's got seven sons. And he starts with the oldest, apparently the most impressive and the wisest, of course, the oldest, you know, oldest in the family, you know, working his way down. And with each one that comes in, with each son that comes in, Samuel in his spirit saying to God, is this the one? Is this the one? No, 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 no. Getting all the way down the line, there's just six. And God has said no to them all. So Samuel is pretty sure God has directed him to this house. Have you got any others? Any other sons? And Jesse said, well, yeah, I have. You know, there's one more. You know, he's the little one. He's out in the fields. We'll call him in. And Jesse calls David, and as soon as David comes in, God says to Samuel, he's the one. And at that moment, Samuel steps forward and pours oil on the head, anoints. That's what he was doing. He was anointing David king over all Israel. And that anointing is the anointing of the Spirit. As Samuel poured oil, we might think, well, what's that about? And as Samuel pours the oil, it is a physical demonstration of the Spirit being poured out upon David at that point. And that may be for us our new beginning. That curious moment when we're aware not simply of a commissioning to step out from the shadow of somebody else, but almost out of nowhere, the anointing of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to serve and to be all that God has called us to be. And you'll see here, then the Lord says, rise and anoint him. That's David. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. So it may be that for us, there is that need that we feel that God creates something new. That God breathes his Spirit into us to revive us. It may be that God would pour his Spirit upon us to mark a new beginning, that of commissioning or anointing, that surprising work of the Spirit in us. The third thing is drawing a line under the past. And I guess sometimes we feel this very much. God, I need your blessing, but I don't just want a blessing to move forward. I want a blessing that will draw a line under the past so that I can truly have a fresh beginning. And this is a wonderful verse from Ezekiel. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them the heart, their heart of stone, and give them a heart of flesh. And this is where God says, you know, the past, that's the heart of stone. That's the divided heart. What does it mean to have a divided heart? It means that we may worship God, but we also worship and pay attention to other gods as well. And that's true for us as well, as it was true for the people of God when Israel, when Ezekiel spoke. And God says, I will remove all that from them. I will draw a line under the past, and I will put a new spirit on them, in them, and I will give them a heart of flesh. And Ezekiel actually repeats this verse, and you'll see that I've forgotten to change the verse. It's not Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, but I forgot to change that. But Ezekiel later on says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And there's that emphasis there of drawing a line under the past. I mean, don't we sometimes think, if only I could begin again? Do you ever think that? Maybe I'm the only one. You think, if only I could draw a line under the past, not just start again, not just have the blessing of the Spirit in a creative way, but couldn't I just draw a line under the past? And to know that in God's wisdom, the past is done. And I could step forward and know God's blessing. Maybe I could have that transformation, and my past will still be there, but it will no longer have the hold on me that it does right now. And maybe that's our prayer today. Fill me with your Spirit and set me free from the power of the past. We draw a line under the past. And of course, this theme is repeated so many times in Scripture. On the day of Pentecost itself, when the crowds have gathered and they're questioning and wondering, you know, what on earth is happening to the disciples who are declaring the praises of God in so many different languages. Some people think they're drunk, and the other people are confused about what is going on. And Peter explains, God is pouring out his Holy Spirit upon people and is inviting you to participate as well. And then Peter tells about Jesus and says, Jesus is the anointed one of God, but you crucified him. And these are painful words to hear. For Peter to say it to the people, Jesus is the anointed one of God, but you crucified him. Now God raised him. And the people come to Peter and say, what should we do? They know they have committed a crime. They know they've committed, is it the greatest sin, that they rejected and crucified the anointed Son of God. And their prayer, I guess, their appeal to Peter is, how do we draw a line under this? How do we deal with this? And so that's why Peter says, repent and be baptized. And that repentance and baptism, that's a key marker of leaving the past behind. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Spirit. We will, in this action of repentance and baptism, we will draw a line under the past. And you will know forgiveness for what you've done. And God will give you this new beginning, this life, this vitality from God. And of course, this is repeated. I put down Philip and the Ethiopian. You remember the Ethiopian that Philip is directed to go and speak to, and this Ethiopian is traveling back to Ethiopia from worshipping in Jerusalem, and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he doesn't understand. Who is this one anointed by God yet rejected by man? And Philip is able to say, this is Jesus. The Ethiopian sees water that they are passing in the chariot and says, can I be baptized? Yeah. So they go down. And in that action, not just of hearing, but receiving that news about Jesus and baptism, there is a line drawn under the past, and the Ethiopian can go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Or there's the story about Ananias and Paul, or Ananias and Saul in Acts chapter 9. There was Saul setting his heart against what God was doing in Jesus Christ. But he encounters the living Jesus as he travels to Damascus. And he's taken, Saul is struck blind, and he's taken to the house of a man by the name of Simon. And God speaks to Ananias, who's in that same city. And God says to Ananias, go to this man Saul and speak to him, and then pray for him. And in what happens, the sight of Paul is restored, he's baptized, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. A line is drawn under what he had done. It no longer has the power over him that it might otherwise have done. Or I've listed here Paul and Cornelius, the extraordinary events that we read of in Acts chapter 10. And they're so extraordinary that in Acts chapter 11, Peter has to explain to others, unbelieving, could this really have happened? Cornelius wasn't a Jew, he was a Roman soldier, for goodness sake. And yet, He'd been told about Jesus. And even, get this, even before Peter had finished his sermon, God poured out his spirit on Cornelius and his friends. And Peter says, okay, you can be baptized. And all of these are examples of God causing, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, causing people to be able to draw a line under the past and say the past no longer has the hold over me that it might otherwise have. And the blessing of the Spirit to move forward into that new beginning. And then finally, and just briefly, just what is surprising, coming from John chapter 3, where Nicodemus is questioning Jesus. And Jesus says, I'll tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And rightly, Nicodemus says, what are you talking about? It doesn't make sense. And yet, this is a surprising thing. That today, it may be that what God is speaking to us, we might say on one level, this just doesn't make sense. And yet, we open our hearts and say, Lord, if this is from you, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. And of course, Jesus goes on and says, I'll tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. And Jesus even says in this reading, you should not be surprised. You should not be surprised at my saying this. It may be surprising to you what God is doing or wants to do in your heart and life. But our prayer today is that we might be able to receive the Holy Spirit, and it may mark for us, on whichever level, it may mark for us a new beginning. So those four headings, creating something new, is that where it impacts you? Is it about anointing or commissioning? Is it about drawing a line under the past so that you can move forward free? Or is it something that we're hearing and it is a surprise to us what God is prompting in us? May God bless us as we respond. Let's pray together. Father, pour out your Spirit. Thank you that you are generous and you lavish your goodness and your Spirit upon us. You are not stingy in any way in giving the gift of your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Father, thank you that you're in your love for us, you know all there is to know about us, and you meet us in ways that are fully appropriate to us. And you speak words that we need to hear, and you prompt us in ways that we need to be prompted. Father, pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray. Help us to receive all that you're giving to us and all that you're doing in us. Help us in our reacting to you. Help us to work through what you're saying to us. And may there be a sense of a new beginning for us, not just as individuals, but even as a believing community. May we know the blessing of your Spirit, marking a new beginning. We pray in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.